Okay, so it's time for the next P-Kite podcast episode. It's been a little while since we've recorded an audio feature, but joining me now as a special guest is cricket writer and blogger and huge Derbyshire fan, Steve Dolman. Steve, how's it going? You okay?
I'm very well indeed, thank you. As long as the sun keeps shining, we'll all be fine, I think, Matthew, eh?
Yeah, great to have you on, Steve. I know I've spoken to you a number of times before back when I was at North Derbyshire Radio. So it feels a little bit weird speaking to you on a different platform, but it's great to have you on. Unfortunately, I mean the bulk of what we're going to be talking about here for this podcast episode, unfortunately, is centered around some very sad recent news. Edwin Smith, a Derbyshire County Cricket Club legend, unfortunately, he passed away recently at the age of 92. And you wrote a book on Edwin, so-called Edwin Smith, A Life in Derbyshire Cricket, which was published back in 2015. And I know you knew Edwin well. First of all, if you can, how would you sum up his career at Derbyshire, because he was there for 2 full decades. I mean, it was an extraordinary career that he had at the club, wasn't it?
It was, and he was a remarkable man in many ways, but to have a career in first-class cricket for 20 years was remarkable. To put him into some sort of context, there's only 7 people in the history of Derbyshire cricket who have taken over 1,000 runs. Sorry, over 1,000 wickets. And Edwin was one of those 7, and there's only one other spinner, Tommy Mitchell, who had managed to do that. So that gives some idea of the measure of the man, but he was a very, very good spin bowler. He was a handy bat. He was a good fielder. But above all, he was a lovely man. And he went on after that, of course, to become the club coach for a few years. And he also was the club president in his later years. So he made a huge contribution to Derbyshire cricket.
What made his off-break spin bowling so special? You know, what was it that made him, so good on the pitch? Because to have played at the club for, 20 full years, I mean, that is remarkable. What was it that made his bowling action so special?
Well, he didn't take an awful lot out of himself with his bowling. The only thing that he had a problem with was his spinning finger. And Edwin and I had many conversations over the fact that modern spinners simply roll the ball rather than rip it between the index finger and the middle one. And his index finger was always ripped in the course of a season because of the amount of spin he got on the ball. But it wasn't just the off spinner, because over the course of his time, he continued to work on his game and he developed a number of variations. They talk a lot today about the arm ball, and Edwin was perhaps one of the first who developed this arm ball. And remarkably, he didn't use it in a game until he had worked on it in the nets for 5 years. And most famously, he used it against Basil de Oliveira, who returned to Worcestershire after scoring 100 for England in a test match, and was clapped rapturously out to the wicket by the crowd. And Edwin bowled him the arm ball first ball, and he bowled him. And he didn't get to clap all the way back out to the pavilion again after that one. So Edwin was a very fine bowler and was respected as such. He didn't always get on as a first choice at Derbyshire, and quite honestly, if he'd have played at a county where there were less bowlers than the likes of Cliff Gladwin and Les Jackson, he might have got even more wickets, because quite often there wasn't much left when they'd had their pick of what was facing them. But he was a great player, and above all, he was a wonderful man. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, his time on the pitch was before my time, so I never saw live what he was like on the pitch and when he was playing the game. If you could compare him to maybe a modern day spin bowler, who would he sort of resemble most, just in terms of action and success in wicket taking in today's modern era?
You know, it's quite sad, because on the day that I heard of his passing, that there was a video put up onto YouTube of Derbyshire against the International Cavaliers in 1965 at Derby. And I saw Edwin 2 years later. My first game was at Chesterfield in 1967. And watching him now, watching his action back again, is kind of similar to Simon Harmer of Essex, is probably the best way I could put it. No bad comparison either, because he's a very fine bowler, Simon Harmer. But he could and he did bowl all day. There's one famous occasion at Scarborough when he bowled 37 successive overs because there was only two fit Derbyshire bowlers that day. And Edwin bowled in the course of that innings 58 overs and he took 4 for 117. And it just shows how powerful, how strong, how committed he was that he was able to do that at no detriment to his figures because you'd expect him to concede runs as he tired. But he was a tremendous bowler for Derbyshire and he was able to keep it quiet if they needed it kept quiet. Or when conditions suited him, he took wickets. And he remains the man who's taken more wickets at Chesterfield, which is traditionally a seamer's pitch, than anyone else. So he's obviously been able to transfer his talents to whatever surface he had to use them on.
And how highly would you say he is regarded amongst the Derbyshire fan base? I'm talking obviously with his, I think his last game for Derbyshire was back in 1971, so probably more for Derbyshire fans of a certain age, but for that generation. Just how highly was he regarded in terms of, Derbyshire's all-time great players?
I think most people saw Edwin as being a very good spin bowler at the time, that there were a lot of very good spinners around. And he did come close to England selection once in 1966. And he would at that stage have been facing the mighty West Indies side, including Gary Sobers, who also sadly passed away recently. And he was in line for playing in one of the Test matches, but he ended up pulling a muscle in his side when he was top of the national averages with 40 wickets at 8 runs each. And he really was a very fine bowler indeed. Anyone of that period of my age who saw him remembers him as being a bloke who very rarely let you down. You just knew what you were going to get with Edwin. If the conditions helped him, he would get wickets. If the conditions didn't help him, the very least that he would do would be to keep the opposition quiet. And it was very rare that he got collared. And he was a very special bowler. And to get 1,200 plus wickets in county cricket, you have to have something going for you, and you have to have the motivation to keep going year after year. And Edwin had that in spades. He was a quite remarkable man, there's no doubt about it.
And as I touched on at the start of this chat, so you wrote a book about Edwin's career, so called A Life in Derbyshire Cricket. I think that was published back in 2015. What was he like to speak to about the game? And I'm interested to know how he regarded his own career as well. What was he like to speak to about cricket?
Edwin was one of the more remarkable people I've ever met in my life, to be honest. When I first approached him back in 2014, I wanted to have an interview with him just for my blog. And I gave him a ring and I was invited to his home in Grassmoor. And as soon as I came and went into the house, I was welcomed, sat down. A cup of coffee was produced, one of many that I've had over the years with Jean and Edwin. And we sat talking about cricket, and after 2 hours, I just thought, this fella's got a story that needs more than an article. And I said, has anyone ever talked about having doing a book on you? And he said, no, not at all. He said, well, talking about books, would you like to see me scrapbooks? And so he went through to the back room and he came back with these scrapbooks, which were absolute gold dust. It was like the Holy Grail for cricket fans. And I was looking through these, and he was just such a lovely man to talk to. And he happily lent these scrapbooks of his lifetime in cricket to me to scan. And I was able to use them for the book that I subsequently produced. But all the way through, he was so happy to talk, so happy for me to visit. We had a promotional tour, which was joyous to do. And he had a wonderful self-deprecating sense of humour. And I said to him one time, do you think you would get into the England team at this stage, Edwin, with the players that there are on the circuit just now? And he says, no. He says, I'm 75 now. I'm too old for that. But he says, I could still bowl a decent line and length. And he just had a wonderful sense of humour, and that was in all walks of life. He was a fantastic snooker player as well, and I had the pleasure of playing him and being hammered by him at snooker. And there's a few stories about that as well. But yes, he was a bloke who, the sort of bloke that you hope crosses your path during the course of life. And certainly, I think Edwin enriched the life of anyone who crossed his during the course of his time.
And just as well, I mean, what details can you give about what he got up to after his playing career finished? So I understand he also was involved in coaching as well. Was that also with Derbyshire, or what else did he do after his playing time was over?
He only coached at Derbyshire for a couple of seasons. The club was in a poor state at that stage, and they could barely afford to rub two pennies together, to be quite honest. And they got Edwin to coach, but he was doing so many other things. One of his first jobs when he was a coach was to put new windows into the training facilities that they had then at Derby. And he did everything that he could do to try and save a bit of money for the club. He went and bought towels for the players to use himself out of his own pocket that they could use after the sessions in the sports hall. And he was a quite remarkable man. He was also well known in the Chesterfield area. He coached with and at Chesterfield for a number of years, and he played there as well. He played his last game in his early mid-70s, and he was asked by Chesterfield to go and play for them in an emergency. And he went and played, and he bowled his 10 overs, I think it was, in that particular game, and he took 3 wickets for 9 runs, having not played for about 10 or 15 years. He was also popular in the charity game circuit as well, and he played a few games there. One famous occasion, he was asked to come out of the attack again after he had taken the wickets of Eddie Barlow, Alan Lamb, and Peter Kirsten in the course of 2 overs and ruined the afternoon's entertainment for everybody. So he was quite a remarkable man, Edwin, and I had the pleasure of going up to the Grassmoor pitch with him and listening to his memories about playing there and going to Derby with him and talking about things there. And it was just such a wonderful time to spend every time that I was in his company. And certainly I will miss him tremendously. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, and the well, the online reaction that I saw when his passing was announced, it was a very big online reaction. Plenty of tributes poured in as well. Yeah, no, it goes without saying, of course, that the Pea Kite sends its condolences to Edwin's family and close friends. Just before we wrap up, Steve, because I know you well, you write the Peak. Peak fan blog. I've got that right,
Yeah,
haven't
that's
I?
right, mate. Yeah. Got
Get my
there
words
eventually,
mixed up there.
yeah.
The Peak fan blog site, which is very popular indeed online, and you still cover Derbyshire County Cricket Club in great detail. If you can you sum up the season so far? It's as usual with Derbyshire, it's had some highs and also some lows. What have you made of their campaign this time around?
Probably the highlight is that the blog went past 8 million views this year. To be honest, it's been going
Wow.
downhill from there, to be quite honest. But it's to use football parlance, it's a game of two halves. In the red ball game, they have done pretty well, and they are still technically in contention for promotion to Division One when the red ball game resumes, although whether that actually happens is going to be down to whether they are in a position to replace Mohammed Abbas. Who is unlikely to play a great deal more for the county this year because of his Pakistan commitments. If they can bring in a replacement for him who can take some wickets, then they've got a shout. But I think it's going to be kind of like last season, so near and yet so far for us. We've always had a chance of getting wickets because Ben Aitchison has bowled superbly this year, and Rory Hayden has come into the side and done very well. And although he seems to be slated by the media, who seem to want some of our best young players to fail, I think Shoaib has done very well for us as well. He's bowled his spin cleverly, he's been enthusiastic, and he's been everything that you'd hope to get from a signing. But the problem has been that the batting has misfired on occasion. And that's been a problem for this year. Caleb Jewell hasn't made the runs that we would have hoped an overseas player would make. And that's been the challenge for us through the team. We've always struggled to get enough runs to bowl at. In the white ball game, disappointing. The T20, I always felt strangely that we were both a batter and a bowler short in the T20. And that comes down to the balance of the side. And while the two recruits that we had from Pakistan were both good players, both of them were bowlers only, and they took a little while to get used to the English pitches. And so we were always short of a batter to just take the score out of reach and to give the bowlers what they needed. Nick Potts emerged very well. Nick has had a good season, although I don't think anybody would have expected him to have been in the T20 side at the start of it. But fair play to him. He's had a very, very good T20 season. Hopefully that translates to the 50-over competition. That started with a defeat against Worcestershire. Sorry, not Worcestershire. It wasn't Worcestershire at all. It was Durham.
Durham.
They might have struggled to win that game had it not been for Ben Stokes playing and the century that he made. But again, Derbyshire didn't get the runs that they needed. 250 in a 50-over game when most sides are putting on 200 to 220 in 20 overs really isn't enough to make the batting side sweat too much. And the Durham side had quite a few good bats, and they got there fairly comfortably, although it went down to the last over. So I'm not overly optimistic about the rest of the 50-over competition because they've got a lot of injuries, and we're also in the competition without any overseas players. So these things combined, I suspect it's going to be another hard watch for the seasoned Derbyshire supporter, put it that way.
Do you think, because I mean I was there at the county ground to watch the match against Durham. It was quite a curious 50 over game because the run rate was never particularly high at any point. Even when Durham was batting for their first half, they were actually under 4 runs and over. And when I spoke to Martin Anderson after the game, he said that he felt that the par score for when they were batting first was around 280. Because he said it was going to be a bit difficult to actually get boundaries on a regular basis with how the pitch was playing. But do you think just in terms of when we look at T20 in particular, because I think Nye Donald has referred to it a little bit before, but do you think one of Derbyshire's main problems is that they're not managing the game as well as they should do? So there are a lot of instances where they start like an absolute train. Like I've seen games before where they're on like 50 without loss after 4 overs, usually when they're actually chasing the target and they're already above the run rate, but then they don't calm down. It's just like just hit a 4 or a 6 and then, just bat out the rest of the over. You don't need to go hell for leather, but there tends to be points where they just don't they just can't calm down. This very attacking approach. Do you think that's let Derbyshire down a little bit when it comes to T20?
Yeah, undoubtedly. I've used the analogy in the past that we chase totals a little bit like the Keystone Cops, and I think it's just frustrating that it just seems to be we've got to hit at everything. It's got to be in fours and sixes. The best chasers of totals that I've seen in Derbyshire colours over 60 seasons have been people like Peter Kirsten, Dean Jones, and Mohammad Azharuddin. And they could chase totals with great ease, and they never seemed to be doing anything out of the ordinary. And their approach was just pretty much as you've just explained, hit a four early in the over and then knock ones and twos, time the shots, place the shots. And if you're needing nine and over, you only need one boundary and then just using your head. And it's fairly straightforward from there for good cricketers. Derbyshire's approach this season has not always been the most sensible. And I remember a couple of games where we were getting people caught on the boundary, and there was really no need to be playing the shot that that had caused. And it's just frustrating because, as a long-time supporter, you know that the talent is there. You look around that dressing room and you think these players have really got the ability. But it only seems that two or three of them on any given occasion produce their best. And right at the start of the season, I said that the only way that Derbyshire will win matches and will compete against the big counties, the so-called big counties, is if we get seven or eight players every match producing their best. That's been the case this year. When we've had a good team performance, and you're mainly looking at red ball cricket for that, everybody's contributed a few runs, taken a few wickets, held a great catch or whatever. The T20 side, for example, was too heavily dependent on Nye Donald and Martin Anderson. And after that, it was kind of like after the Lord Mayor's show because it was, with the exception of Matthew Montgomery, nobody else really made many runs. And there was a decline, sadly, in Wayne Madsen's form, which has caused him, I think, well, one of the contributory factors anyway, in Wayne deciding to play red ball only next season and the 50 overs if required. So hopefully we do see Wayne next year and we can still enjoy his talents for another 12 months.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's time for this. That stumps for this podcast episode, Steve. So thank you so much for contributing and for your memories of Edwin Smith. I know it's been you knew him very well, so I know it's been a really sad time. So thank you so much for paying tribute to him and for guesting on the P-Kite podcast, and hopefully we'll have you on again at some point down the line. Okay, thank you, Steve.
Thanks very much for having me, Matthew. I really enjoyed it. Cheers, mate. Take care.